So I have Pastor Susie's sermon here, and I'm really excited to bring it to you guys, but I will not have her theatrical deliverance, I don't believe. But she asked, you know, if someone would be able to speak or to do this, and I said I'd be happy to do it. I'd be happy to put a small message together, but I felt like with the Advent season that we wanted to continue in her sermon series, the Advent, yours, of whatever. So this week is faith, and I'm very thankful that I have her words here, and I will do my best to do them justice. So before we hit in our scripture, I've got a little bit here. As we continue our Advent year of series here in Advent, we started with our adventure of hope. I hope you've been taking time in what areas of your life you have hope. During Advent, there will be a box in the back, probably not today, to collect your individual prayers of hope for the church, community, world, perhaps your own personal hope in your individual life. You do not need to sign your name, but they will be sealed on New Year's Day as the box will be here next Sunday, December 11th, and hopefully you all will join us for the joint Christmas cantata service on Sunday, December 18th at Duncan at 10:45 a.m., which will be followed by brunch in the Family Life Center at Duncan UMC at 11:30 a.m. You do not need to bring anything but yourself. Please come and worship and feast. The box will be available all week leading into Christmas. These prayers of hope will be read aloud Christ the King Sunday 2023, not quite a year away. Whatever seeds of hope you plant, please cover in prayer throughout the year, and we will look forward to witnessing how God responds. On our adventures of, we now embark on the adventures of faith. In hope, we seek Jesus, where Jesus has been, where Jesus is, and where Jesus will return. In faith, we know that Jesus was here, is here, and will come again. So in our adventure of faith, we live out our faith, we speak about our faith, and we follow God where God leads. Let us turn to the Gospel of Matthew and see how John the Baptist lived out his adventure of faith. And now we'll join in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, 1 through 11. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourself, "We have Abraham as our father." I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes the one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." The word of faith for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. John the Baptist is an interesting character. Now, there are people who don't appreciate the Bible being referred to as a book of stories or the people in the Bible referred to as characters. That sometimes those words can have a connotation of meaning not true. However, what we read of John the Baptist in the Bible, and he is indeed noted in all four Gospels, that he was definitely a standout kind of person. If you met John the Baptist, you're going to remember him. So please note that with affection, understanding, and utmost respect, the word character is used in this description. He is a man of God that is not easily replicated. He lived out his faith boldly with little concern of what others thought, but in total obedience of God for the purpose to make a path clear for others to truly see God and prepare the hearts for anyone who was blessed to meet Jesus. Sometimes when an individual stands out and people seek them out, it is easy to fall into the temptation of pride and arrogance. But repeatedly, we read verses of John's humility. He truly saw his life purpose to point others to Jesus, just as Isaiah had prophesied. In our reading scripture today, Matthew 3:3 says, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." This verse is referring to Isaiah 43, that hundreds of years had passed and the word of God was finally being revealed. Can you imagine that kind of wait? Who is upset when the internet lags, a stoplight takes over a minute to change, or that a package has the audacity to take over a week to arrive? I'm waiting on some packages and I'm really mad or late, so it's really funny. The worldly desire to move quick, even if mistakes are made that impact others negatively. This is seen as a huge leadership quality. Someone who is willing to be bold, take risk, move fast, regardless of consequences or who will have to face them. As Christians, we are called to live boldly and, yes, take risk. But the difference is that we aren't bold for our gain, especially at the risk of pain or injustice of others. Our patience wanes quickly these days, and we forget that sometimes our faith is asking us to counteract the world's teachings. Sometimes that is the adventure, not to charge ahead, but to wait, to be still, perhaps to share God's word in the moment or to sit with it upon our heart, to meditate, to pray, to wait. There is a musical titled Godspell. It was written in the 70s, loosely based on the Gospel of Matthew. Some parables from Luke as well, but the musical opens with John the Baptist singing a song, "Prepare ye the way." Often a bugle or trumpet or some other type of horn is used to get the theater's attention, to shout the good news in a sea of quiet. Are you trying to grasp people's attention to point them to Jesus? Are you living out your faith? Are you announcing to, encouraging, supporting the world to make room in their lives, schedules, hearts, minds for Jesus? What does your adventure of faith look like? Now, there is not one way to live out one's faith. There are many factors that will contribute to your personal adventures. Will some pass judgment on you or your adventure of faith? Yes. John the Baptist speaks out to some of his naysayers that come perhaps disguised as friends for appearance's sake, or at least that they were out of their way to, or that they went out of their way to see what all the fuss was about. In verse 7, when he addresses the Pharisees and Sadducees, John the Baptist does not mince words. The Pharisees and Sadducees are two of the major religious sects we read about in the Bible, especially around the times of Jesus. They do not have similar beliefs, but in their minds, they did have a common enemy, Jesus. They were not impressed with how John the Baptist was creating such a stir, and certainly not what Jesus was doing about that, or about what Jesus was about to do. The Pharisees are accused of hypocrisy as they upheld much of the religious law, believing in the writings, the prophets, and the law, what we think of the Old Testament. They could and basically created the illusion of upholding the law to standards that even they couldn't muster, but then looking down upon those who could not follow through with the impossible standards. And consumed with appearances of being obedient and religious, missed the point of actual obedience and the beauty of being faithful and with mercy and justice. basically, that they were too worried about actually following the law without any concern of others. Sadducees were far more interested in political affairs and believed in only Moses' law, the Torah, or what we consider the first five books of the Bible. They did not believe in angels or demons, valuing logic over faith, and they were not against conceding certain principles to gain political favors. So to see anyone from either group seek out John the Baptist in the wilderness for a baptism of repentance seems out of character, leaving John somewhat skeptical. He responds in the verse 8 through 10, basically questioning them, "Why do you come? Do you really repent, confess your wrongdoings, and will you change your ways? Will you produce good fruit? Don't just go through the motions, and don't hide behind the statements of being Abraham's children, that does not carry the authority you think it does, or at least once did. Abraham was a follower of God, but God could produce children out of these stones if God saw it necessary. If you are to truly repent, to be cleansed of these transgressions, you confess. This should have a change of intention upon your heart. Action should follow. Let us recall the scriptures from the book of James 2, 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and be well fed,' but does nothing about their physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself if not accompanied by action, is dead. We cannot just claim faith through words. All that equals are words, but faith believed and demonstrated exists and grows. And when we as believers come together, we engage, we learn, we become stronger, and the cycle continues as we encourage, support, and build together. This is part of the adventure of faith that gets exciting to see a familiar scripture with renewed vigor, to exchange stories of faith, to feel God's love on a tangible level when carrying each other's burdens, whether complementing one another's weaknesses or offering company to another to allow for confession and growing without judgment. Adventures of faith often take us out of our typical worldly expectation. John the Baptist was leading people to Jesus as if it were his job, his purpose. As Christians, as fellow believers, is that not our purpose? To point others to Jesus as if it were our life's purpose. To share our adventures of faith is how we grow as Christians. It is how we fulfill our biggest desire and in turn help others to discover Jesus and grow in their faith. When we help others grow strong in their adventures of faith, we can't help but strengthen our own faith. And then she said I could share some stories of like when you helped others impact their faith journey. But it actually impacted me. And I thought I would share a brief one of mine and then one of our church. But that years ago when I decided to start teaching the youth Sunday school, I was like, I've said this before, I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't know what I'm doing. But that, I would get the book, whatever book we were doing, whatever study we were doing, I would study it. And then as I was teaching, the more I taught and the more weeks that went by, the more I realized that I was learning more from them. And it was actually enriching my life. Now, was it enriching their life? Probably, a little bit at least. But it was actually enriching my life even more than it did them. And then I thought about the times that the adult Sunday school or the church itself has done things for the Wright family home, that when you had them over here for food or watermelon or whatever the activity was, that I believe that it was a ministry to them, but I believe it ministered to the people there. And that is what Pastor Susie is trying to tell us is that, you know, that it is our job as Christians and our purpose, just like it was for John the Baptist. But that in growing as Christians, and that when we help others grow, it in turn helps us grow. And I'm sure we all have stories. We could all share lots of stories about how when we have tried to serve the Lord and grow, and that helps us grow, that the other people bless us as well. We don't all have to sound the trumpet or shout, prepare the way, but we are called to live out our adventure of faith. There will be mountains and valleys and everyday kind of ordinary time. But our lives as a whole are a testimony to the world about how we value our faith. We all have choices how to live out our faith. Sometimes it is confusing in our choices if we are following God's will or if we are choosing to quench our human desires. We will make mistakes in our adventures of faith, but that is never the full story, because God will always have open arms to love us, offer grace and mercy. Sometimes in our humanness, we want to edit others' adventures of faith and place limitations and expectations. Let us help point others to Jesus, but do not steal their compass or rip up their map. They, other people, are having their own conversations with God we aren't privy to. They have endured experiences that we don't know, and they might have a different mission field than ours to share the gospel. Let us listen to each other. Let us encourage each other. And if nothing else, let us love one another as if it were our entire life's purpose when living out our adventures of faith.